Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is Now or Never, as well as it's Feedback Friday. And so, yeah, I'm doing everything I can to try to impart with the content and information that is essential so that everybody starts looking at what we really have that the framers gave us, because there's way too many people that are being misled in misinterpreted information. And I can't say this enough, because when I look at the General Assembly folks, they're obviously following, old laws that were reintroduced, and somehow there have been court cases where they said, yeah, this is legitimate stuff, when it's not. It actually flies in the face of what the framers established in our Republican form of government. The concept of jural assemblies, the concept of lesser magistrates, the doctrine of lesser magistrate. In other words, that the sheriff is the most important person. So, and I'm saying this because as I keep on dealing with people that are, what do you want to call them, state nationals, sovereign citizens, whatever. And there's lots of them out there. And they're out there on Facebook as, and they're feeding the frenzy and creating confusion. We are confusing ourselves. And as a matter of fact, I may have alluded to this, but, I want you to start thinking in context to Chinese fire drills. And I want this to actually become a standing position, that everybody starts seeing these things and calling these things. What's going on in education? What's going on in energy? These are Chinese fire drills, because we've already got the empirical data. I mean, Trevor Lawton has proven the infiltration of the Chinese communists and communism into America. And at this point in time, the massaging and pushing the agenda has truly came from China. Now, to be honest with you, China in the 90s was not mature enough. We had not subsidized China's communist state to a point where China could start filling the globalist roles and objectives. See, it's not really about China being the dominant. It's just that China has a very specific role in moving and pushing the globalist agenda, because they have this, this beautiful thing called resources, those resources being human beings. And they've devalued them, and they're actually going down this path of capitulation. This is why, they've already admitted, not outright admitted, but they've changed their policy by allowing people to have more than just one kid now. But it's going to be too late. Or is it? I don't know. And so, there's no doubt in my mind, the architect behind the globalist agenda is being driven by Satan. And so every one of us that actually calls out, the architect, everybody that calls out the truth, because as long as Satan's name and Lucifer's name is not being brought into context with all of this stuff, then we're not nearly the threat to him that we need to be. So we need to be honest, we need to be forthright, and we really need to be out there. But again, start keeping context to all of the confusing things that are going on. What the heck is going on? Well, that is a Chinese fire drill. That's the whole purpose of a Chinese fire drill, is to, confuse everybody. Well, who's driving? What the heck's going on? And so whether it seems racist or insensitive, I'm at a point, folks, where I don't care. The fact of the matter is China is influencing way too much, and they are attacking us, and they have taken, by the controls that they have in our government, they are using our government to effectively destroy us. So when we were told, and not by just recent, but when we are told by philosophers that go all the way back to Aristotle, how, you know, powerful and mighty nations are seldom destroyed from outside. They are destroyed from within. In other words, the blueprints are already there. People have already been able, smart people have already been able to come out with, you know, designs to undermine both governments, religions, and so forth. Which is why I highly, you know, I actually have this book on my website. And so I want to go to it. I know I've cited this before, but if you go to the Constitutional Articles page, and I believe it's towards the very bottom, it's called The Proofs of a Conspiracy to Destroy the, it's The Truth of Conspiracies to Destroy All of the Governments and Religions of Europe. And this was done by John Robison. I'm sorry, I always mispronounce his name. I call him Robinson, but it's actually Robison, A.M. And so this book is towards the very bottom of my Constitutional Articles page. It was written in 1798. I get the years sometimes mixed up too. But I don't know if that's just because this is the fourth edition. I thought that he originally wrote this in 92. I might be right. But when you go through this, he actually cites Adam Weishaupt's plans, and he actually got, I don't know how, he was able to get a copy or somehow how he's be able to quote these things out of the Illuminati Charter and, you know, some of their plans and policies of what they were doing. And so, you know, here Satan's plan had been discovered. And over time, all of this information has been buried again. And it gets exposed by somebody else, but it's different. But the conspiracy theorist, which is actually, I'll say, the Chicken Little warning the world, you know, it actually started back in the 1700s when the communist movement began, when the plan was basically disclosed of what was going to happen and how they were going to do this. It took a long time for a small organization to actually permeate out and out and out and out. And once, you know, they find more, you know, when you expose it to hundreds of people, and what they do is they don't expose it outright. What they do is they get you to buy into the doctrines. And those people who feed on the doctrines and, you know, embrace them and actually start expounding, then you expose them to a little more. And then once you've got them to a point where when you expose them the truth of what you're doing, you know, by that time, they are already committed and have been compromised to a point where they dare not go away from the cause. And as a matter of fact, I believe that they're motivated in staying in the cause because of the rewards they receive. And when we look at how many people are being rewarded today and are doing evil bidding in America, I mean, just look at all of the people in the cabinet of Biden's presidency. None of those people deserve to be in there, but somehow they are all, you know, they're all incompetent and they're all being rewarded for this point in time. And as long as they pull their line and they don't expose anything and they, you know, they don't rock the boat, there's an opportunity down the road for them to have a, you know, a higher seat at the table. Patience or what have you. But see, infighting and jealousies and avarice exist in every rank of society because it is innate within people to have those things. And here's the interesting thing. Those who actually are involved in the deep bidding, they actually have a higher likelihood of conformity because they understand the power in numbers. Because of the doctrines that they're being taught, which are evil doctrines, are actually, you know, helping them be more successful because they all, that's why I read that commitment. You need to go back into my radio shows where I actually read this letter of a communist that was exposed to Falwell, I don't know, you know, Billy Graham. And what it basically said was how this guy became a communist and how he became so committed to the cause that he was willing to die. Well, how many Americans are committed to the cause, good red-blooded Americans are so committed to the cause of liberty that they'd be willing to die. Not enough. Not enough. And as a matter of fact, I know there's lots of people that listen to this show, and you hear me talk about what you need to do, and there are way too many people that are not committed. I'm not asking you to follow me blindly. I'm asking you to challenge, read these things for yourself, and tell me if I'm wrong. Folks, I don't get that feedback. I get a lot of people that point to, you know, and put a spotlight on other things, but nobody, not even professors, can tell me I'm wrong. Because when we read and we rely strictly on the source documents, they go, well, okay, that's a great point. Nobody looks at it that way. It's like the ratification debates being legally binding. Everybody, yeah, you know, technically you're right, but nobody looks at it that way. And I go, well, what would happen if the state legislatures actually had the paradigm shift and actually looked at it that way? What if the state legislatures all finally had this epiphany of, you know, how they've been the problem and how they can actually place us and point us in the direction to where we could actually succeed and get back on the path of enlightenment and become the greatest nation even beyond the imagination of the framers? Because we have that potential. Because the framers didn't even understand a lot of these little things, but they understand the fundamental principles and established new principles, like a new principle of republicanism. The concept and the definition of republicanism that the common person knows today, there's only a few people, and I'll hate to say this, it's coming from me. But there are people that are actually hearing what I'm saying, they're going, you know what, this guy's right. American republicanism is a very unique thing because it is not based on the concept or paradigm that we the people are the only sovereigns. We in that paradigm, we ignore the actual governments that we actually empower. Man establishes governments and empowers them. And in that empowerment, we delegate to them specific powers. If not, if we have a democracy and we are the sovereigns in a democracy, but we already know the failings of a democracy, and we cannot have a democratic Republican government. So American republicanism, at least the framers knew that that would put us on a path of destruction. So the American republicanism that they were inspired to create was one that created balances and checks on each other, where the government itself would put a check on the people, and the people itself would put a check on the government, i.e. the Senate and the House, House and the Senate. A lot to go through. There's a lot for me to go through today, so I want to kind of get through these things, but, you know, these monologues, I can easily start drifting down a lot of stuff. And what I want to do is I kind of want to focus on what's really important. Now, so I want to cover some things that I've said before, and I did get some feedback, but for the most part, I have not had the time to actually get back to some of the individuals that I've gotten feedback on. But there's a lot of things that I really need to cover, and I want to lay out how I'm going to provide content while I'm providing content. Because I really believe that there's very specific content that is absolutely essential. This stuff is in my first book. Some of the stuff is in my first book. Some of it isn't. But as I start as I start pointing out, you know, because I hear people make an assertion like the Electoral College, or I hear people make assertions of republicanism, or I hear people make assertions of rights. And I'll go through some of those. And this is my feedback for you, because this is some of the garbage I hear. And I want to share this. And we'll get into this, you know, some of these things very specifically. But over the course of this week, I actually heard a GOP leader in a local area of a highly populated county. He's a Central Committee chair on the radio actually make an assertion that there is a separation of church and state, that the church is, you know, the state is not to be involved with religion at all. And he's absolutely wrong. there is a symbiotic relationship. You cannot, it's almost like we don't acknowledge that our government has these powers that we've delegated to them. And that is our biggest fallacy, because we want all the power. And if that's the case, if you really want all the power, then you want to create a government that will destroy itself, because history proves that a democracy, even in a Republican form, will destroy itself. It constantly teeters like a teetering saw or seesaw. It teeters back and forth between anarchy and despotism. Anarchy and despotism. Because the people, you know, vote themselves all of these things because we want everything. And then we get to a point where we collapse. We have an internal revolution. And then a despot rises to power, seizes control, and then control. This is how ancient societies have been operating, by teetering back and forth, because this concept, even in a Republican form of government, of democracy, is the destructive, because we're trying to follow our desires instead of trying to live within the framework of a law or a framework of a constitution that creates checks and balances to ensure that we have enough of our liberties to operate and to live, you know, in a very peaceful, tranquil environment, and not in a police state, to where the federal or the governments that we have only have very specific powers. So there's a lot of things that we need to cover. And I understand these are in my first book, and I'm not here trying to peddle my first book. As a matter of fact, 9 times out of 10, if I'm working with you, I'll give it to you in a PDF form. If we're working and you want to understand these things, I say, well, I don't have time to go through all of this stuff, but you'll find it in my book. We talk a little bit about natural law. We talk about some of these things, but some of the things that we do talk about that I'm going to go through actually is in my first book. And one of those things is a key motivator. And so let me get to the next thing, but let me finish this one thing. We need to get our arms wrapped around the maturity of our hybrid constitution republic. As I point out in my book, that in the beginning of this constitutional framework, every state in the union had state-sponsored churches. It didn't create any righteous wars. It didn't create any, you know, holy wars, anything like that. It actually assisted in, you know, the stability and assisted in this nation growing into enlightenment. The problem was, and this is what Madison basically said, that when you actually have a dominant church in a state, it actually silences the competition, because it's like free market. If you give a little power to one company, then they will do everything they can to be the dominant and the only provider, and they want to eliminate their competition. No, how many companies out there, you know, actually keep themselves at a small level and say, hey, you know, we want to stay small because we believe competition is best? No, that is antithetical to a business model. A business model is to become dominant. This is a part of the capitalistic, you know, theory, to compete, 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 compete. Now, this is where I think maturity can step in and say, look, competition is absolutely necessary in a free market, but we have to have, you know, these other, I'll say, sensors when we're looking at business. And forgive me for going down this rat hole, but this is important. When we look at businesses, we have to have these sensors to say, hold on here. This business is being competitive, and it's a purist. It is a, you know, it's just operating and competing. It's not doing mergers and acquisitions and being aggressively hostile and trying to take over. It respects the boundaries of other businesses. Now, is it the duty of a business to ensure that other businesses are successful? Absolutely not. And so it is in its nature to actually win the customers. But when businesses actually have the wealth and resources to, you know, and create collusions and or deals, and this is how we've gotten into this, because in America, we actually had, and a book I highly recommend if you've got the time to read it, The Unseen Hand. But, you know, businesses such as banking and energy colluded. The Rothschilds and the Rockefellers obviously colluded because the Rockefellers became very dominant in energy and the Rothschilds were very dominant in banking. So they had a lot of money resources and they said, you know what? We need a partner. Rothschilds knew that they needed partners because the Rothschilds were a part of the Illuminati plan and they knew they needed to co-opt others. And so the Rockefellers were just the old American entrepreneurs out there trying to do things and seeking power and becoming more powerful and more powerful. And so what the Rothschilds did was they entered into the energy game in Russia in the early or late 1800s. And this is all in A. Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand. And he points out how, as they became, within a short period of time, they became the world's greatest producers of oil. So much so that it actually put Rockefellers back on their heels, which brought them to the table. And this is where they carved a deal out where they would control the energy and the Rothschilds would control the banking. And shortly after this, this is where we have the Federal Reserve and all these things. So A. Ralph Epperson really does a great job in connecting the dots. I have to caveat, and I have told this to him on a radio show, and he won't listen to me, and he talks over me, and I have to ask and appeal to the persons of reason to actually listen to both sides of the argument, because if you can't get your side of the argument in and they, you know, basically stonewall or they basically, you know, overwhelm you because they won't stop talking, then that right there is not, it is not what I would call engaging in discourse. It is an aggressive tactic to silence the argument against you. A. Ralph Epperson makes the argument that the exclusive legislation clause in the Constitution gives Congress the authority to do everything. And he's teaching people a lie. This is why the ratification debates, and this is why when we go through this, and we've already kind of covered this in Pennsylvania, and we're covering this a little bit in Massachusetts, this is really exposed heavily in Virginia. But the whole point is when you read the entire part of that clause limits them only to exclusive legislation within the district seated, that they do not have exclusive legislation over any other place. And this was actually brought out in very deep details in the Virginia ratification debates. So, you know, what he has is he has his own interpretation and other people's misinterpretations, but he doesn't have the academic evidence. There's nothing that supports his position in the ratification debates. And I'll tell you, had his position been correct and that was exposed in the ratification debates, this Constitution would never have been ratified. It's the same thing with the concept that if the jurists had the ability to determine what would be constitutional and make law or actually say this is constitutional and have that power. See, the jurists, the only power of the court at that time and in the Constitution period, what is galvanizing the Constitution is they can only determine the merits of the case of whether the power exists or whether it doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist or does, they can't interpret what that is. It either exists or doesn't exist. It has to go to the states for further clarification. And what they have basically done is they've deferred to Congress to actually let Congress start stipulating. And the federal government has no power to redefine the Constitution. Only the parties do. This is why understanding Madison and the beautiful insights he provides in the report on the Virginia resolutions and his notes on nullification really clarify this. I mean, crystal clear clarify. So anyway, I still got a lot of feedback to get into. And hopefully all of this is helping. But what I want to do is I want to get back on point on some of the content that I need to cover. And so we need to use the Game Changers and the Feedback Friday to kind of go through this. So we'll be right back with two more points and hopefully diving into some issues. Right back. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. So sorry about being fragmented and going into the break. That's what happens. And I try to cover content instead of just going straight into the break and shutting up. So my fault. I sometimes need to learn to shut up. Anyway, going back around to this whole concept of commitment, because I started, remember Billy Graham, this letter of commitment and how the communists are committed. Until you're committed on liberty, until you're committed and actually until you're willing to make that commitment that you will do whatever is necessary to preserve our liberty, we're no match for the enemy. The enemy is willing to die. These idiots are the useful idiots of the Bolshevik Revolution, and they're willing to go to jail because they're living in mommy's basement. I mean, when you look at the revolutionaries, and they're coming out of our education system. So the chaos, a source of chaos, not only is in the education system, but it's coming from the education system. I have, years ago, I pointed to these homeless societies that are being built. There are kids in the school system that are destined to go into those camps because that's how the education system has been polluting them to where we actually have people that are going and succumbing to the addictions of drugs or other addictions or just going into this ideological space where they destroy their lives and they end up there because they believe that they're entitled and that you have to take care of them and we have to put up with them because we don't hold people accountable. We don't hold our government accountable. We don't hold the law as our standard. We have lost republicanism because in a republican form of government, the law is king. All we got to do is start enforcing laws. Go back to actually capital punishment for a car thief. It's the same thing as a horse thief. They hanged horse thieves. We have to start holding people accountable. I told you, and I've said this time and time again, the doctrine of removing the consequences of sin is a destructive doctrine. It is debasing us in so many different ways, on so many different principles. We're being debased. But the key things, because I don't want to be here preaching about, you know, the morality. I want you to understand the law, the Constitution. Because that is the solution for getting government out of our lives and stop attacking us. There is an argument. I've put it out there. I've gone around this, and I finally got pushed. I felt pushed to a point to actually state the obvious in the last this last session of constitutional minutes. And you can tell the more time goes by, the less time I had to do these things. But in the January 23rd, this year's Constitutional Minutes, I actually laid it out. We are being attacked in all of the sophistry. This kind of warfare, this kind of warfare, this kind of warfare. And, you know, they're doing this and nobody's calling it what it is. This is warfare. If the American or the federal government was doing these things in another nation, and if we were the ones doing it, they would call it warfare. So when you get your own government to do it, well, it's hard to call this. You can't say warfare. They wouldn't be doing that, would they? and the globalists have actually got governments around the world, and America is driving and has been subsidizing most all of this. Thanks to your great tax dollars and our hard work, we have been subsidizing all of this. And China has enslaved their people to provide everybody cheap crap to be able to do, you know, everything else on the backs of the hard work and cheap crap of the Chinese. When we start looking at how everybody's contributing to the slide into global communism, it's insidious and it's very alarming. So bottom line, what I said earlier, and I'm going to repeat this, boys and girls, you have a choice and you stand at a crossroads. You have a choice to be passive and not get involved and not get committed to the cause of liberty. Doing nothing is your choice. You either get committed or you are committed to surrendering, because that is the outcome of that choice. Or you're riding your butt on everybody else contributing. And you're not going to. And that's what everybody else is doing. But what ends up happening is if you stand up and commit to liberty, you will find that other people will stand up with you and will join you. It's called the second man theory. And so at least that's how I refer to it as that. I don't know if there's actually a theory to that, but I've gone through that before. But bottom line, once you've committed, then you have to learn your place. So in other words, don't, what's the best word for it? Because, you know, I don't want to necessarily say it so it's so inflammatory. But unless you are committed to liberty and learning your place on what you have to do, then you better start learning your place of how to do what they want you to do. Because when you look at them, they have zero tolerance for deviations. You know how we should actually have zero tolerance for crimes and sins and not, you know, allow the removal? Well, when you sin against them, death is the penalty. When they have full power, they don't care. They have too many people already. They got to get rid of you. Go to the Georgia Guidestones. It tells you right there that that decree was out in the 1980s, long before people really even got the hint that they're trying to kill people. And I'm saying early 1980s. In other words, the exposure to Satan's plan got so far to become public right there out in the open in Georgia that this is our goals. Wow. That means that the dark side has been enabled. See, when we talk about, you know, this McCarthy, and I actually talked about this, you know, in a meeting this week, but when you look at McCarthyism and how McCarthyism is a trigger today, McCarthyism was only a couple of decades before the Georgia Guidestones. So what I'm telling you is that McCarthyism, even though they weren't exposed, they didn't put the Georgia Guidestones out in the 50s and in the 40s, they were that well entrenched in America to know that they had the advantage because they were controlling most of the key governments and positions. But they couldn't necessarily pull the plunger. They couldn't flush the toilet because America would have woke up and rose up because they knew they didn't have the majority. What they had to do is they had to be patient. They had to actually start poisoning us through our education system, poisoning us through our food system, poisoning us. So this was a very sophisticated and well-disciplined attack upon liberty. I mean, these are really powerful. This is, wow, this is out there. If you really have no clue to the reality of what I'm telling you. But I think everybody on the show, everybody listening to this show absolutely understands. And you, if there's, nobody's refuting, nobody can refute. I invite, if you're a listener and you think that I'm way out on a limb and I'm walking a plank, by all means, send me the information. You know, the nationalists, the state nationalists, send out this information to support their cause, and they're using congressional record documents of 1967. And they're actually out there saying, look at Congress made it, put it on their official record that the 14th Amendment was illegitimate. Well, actually, no, they never even created a resolution. The Democrats were making an argument, and the outgoing Democratic control in 1967 was desperate. And they were doing everything they could to fight the Civil Rights Act and to actually stop the implementation of unification in America. Remember, when we started basically dissolving racism by these laws, unconstitutional may be, but by, you know, this good spirited, this noble intent, fact of the matter is, this shows their hand in how they were desperate to try to maintain division. And the first thing that they attacked was the Constitution. When you start looking at how they go about attacking us and how they give us misinformation, when you look at the players that were behind this whole presentation, it was only a few people, and the information that they provided was all falsified or editorialized so that it misrepresented the facts. I could go, it should take me a long time to actually give you an academic article of how that is nothing but a fallacy. But the fact of the matter is, Americans are being given this information and they're embracing it going, oh my God, the 14th Amendment is evil, because they don't know. And because of our illiteracy, people will cling to the first thing that starts to make some kind of sense. Oh, well, they're saying this. Look who's saying it. It was the evil Democrats that were driving this whole message. And we've got conservatives today that don't even place context to that. They just embrace it as gospel. See, my friends, how insidious we have been lied to and misled, because unless you start challenging everything, challenge me, then you become firm in your conviction of what has to happen. And I am confident, I am the only one here on the radio, I'm the only one that says, challenge me. Mark Levin doesn't, he shuts people up. Glenn Beck doesn't, and it's all about the money. It's all about the numbers. It's all about the public relations, marketing, and imaging. Don't take anybody's word for anything anymore. Read the source documents, as we are doing here, and prove us wrong. Fact of the matter is, you have to get committed. You have to get committed. And if you're not committed on liberty and you're not willing to die for liberty, then you will be killed for actually any type of deviation, because when they subjugate you, you will have to do or die, because they're not very tolerant. And if you don't think that, if you think I'm wrong, look at how well they go after people and they crucify them just to make you go away. The only reason they're not killing people today is because they don't have all the power yet. It's slowly and gradual. And believe me, when the water's boiling, they'll have all the power. And we have, God given to us, the ability to remove the heat, to remove the pot from the heat, and to actually cool the water like that. That was a snap of my fingers away from the mic. Bottom line, the states have the authority to step up. So there's a lot of things that we need to get into in messaging, and the Electoral College is one of those things that I really need to dive into. And I was talking, I got a lot of brothers and sisters in this movement, and I thank you. I thank you for your patience with me. I thank you for everything you're doing, because as people say, thank me, as they thank me, or anybody that says, hey, thank you, GR, for what you're saying, what you're doing, don't. You don't have to do that. If you want to thank me, stand up, get committed, get involved, and do everything you can. I know we're, this is a learning process for everybody, even me. I mean, I have to admit, the Lord didn't just part the heavens like he did with Moses with me. But as we've kind of laid things out, he has exposed me to these things. Now, I'm probably a huge part of the problem, because I could have been exposed to this stuff a lot better had I been more diligent, possibly. But all in his time. And if you're not committed, then the consequences will be severe. But get committed. And if you want to thank me, get committed now. And so what we need to do is we really need to have our arms wrapped around, between now and 2024, we need to have our arms wrapped around how the left is becoming successful. You have to understand, and we actually have to take a stand and refute with facts. Because the facts stand. When you shine the light, darkness goes away. And as a matter of fact, I forget who said this. I heard my father say this, but I don't think he was the source. That darkness is strictly just the absence of light, because light is not existing. When you turn the light on, it doesn't, you know, destroy darkness. Darkness just goes away because the light is shining. Because the light is functioning, because the energy is being exerted, darkness is gone. It is really that simple. So getting committed, and then finding, as you get committed, I don't know, I'd love to have some people come on, or I'd love to have, you know, feedback from either people I'm working with or listeners, what have you, that are doing these things, to say, you know what? You know, I stepped in faith. I started reading these things, and I see exactly what you're saying. I'm doing this, and because I believe the Lord is active in every one of you that is actually acting and taking steps on faith. You know, it's not me doing this. I'm only a messenger, one of many, and I don't want to be the monopoly on the messenger. This is why I've even talked about monetizing this radio show to a point where you become the messengers in your local community, not me. See, a Glenn Beck or a Sean Hannity. No. I'm going to get syndicated. Now, the whole point is to start the syndication, so I'm just helping teach everybody. And you're going to learn more. And as you get to that point, you're going to have that same profound understanding. It just takes time to learn these things. I can't believe that everything is hinging upon me. I don't think that that's the Lord's plan. There's no way that's his plan. It required everybody, or at least enough people, back in 1776 to take a stand. And it took enough people, just a few, it was 50-some men, that went to the Constitutional Convention to receive the insights, to learn what the Lord needed for us to govern ourselves and to share with the world his design of governance. Because his constitution is his plan of global governance, for all nations to become one in the United States. That, I believe, was the intent. And I believe that these men, based on their biases, couldn't see some of those things. But I surely see it. And every time I talk to people that have enough understanding to go, you know what, I never looked at it that way. I'm just the child here, folks. I'm just stating the obvious as I see things, as you know, I step back and I'm willing to put aside biases. Those things just start jumping out. They'll jump out with you too. You'll amaze yourself by getting committed. One of the most important, and I'm going to actually make a very, because this is, I want to wrap up on this. I'm going to actually try to do a show two or whatever it takes to help everybody get their arms around the Antichrist and the Antichrist Church. And the fact of the matter is, as I stated in my first book, that the federal government became the Antichrist Church. I may not have really, you know, put highlights on it, but I just laid it out as an academic argument that there should be none, you know, greater to worship than the government itself. And that's exactly what the government did. And they basically started dictating and strong-arming churches into either toting the line by the way they created coercion. It was all about money. All about money. This is how they've got every church corrupted in America, it seems like. I could be wrong. I may be wrong. But I will tell you, if you go to the signatories on the Constitutional Articles page, right underneath this John Robison article on the proofs of the conspiracy to destroy the nations of Europe and the religions of Europe, right underneath that one document is the Circle of Protection signatories. Open that document, go through it, and look at all of the churches that have consigned themselves and committed to supporting communism in America. In other words, government providing for the temporal welfare of the people. In other words, giving them subsistence, taking from one and giving to another. See, when the church does that, it's being done righteously. But when government does it, it's being done by compulsion. In other words, they have removed the ability for you to actually sacrifice by using compulsion. And now they dictate. This is the evil of our church, or I should say of the Antichrist and these churches that have signed up to it. So this is one of those perfect examples. You know, conspiracy? No. This is proof that the churches have been co-opted when they have committed so that they can keep their few pennies of what they receive from their parishioners because it's so few. And they don't see and they don't realize that if they got rid of the government being involved, if they got involved with sustaining the Constitution, then they'd actually have to work. See, government's doing everything, and they're getting a chance to make money off of that. That is the corruption. So one of the things I need to do in an upcoming show is to really go through the academic evidence of their doctrine. So because bottom line, as I've already kind of said, the left is using myopic messaging, and I talked about this earlier this week or last week about abortion and how they have used that one as a key language. And this goes down to the doctrine of godlessness of their secular church, the Antichrist Church. See, the Antichrist Church actually is instilled these doctrines into our children and into our society to actually say these are irrefutable things. And the basis of all of this comes from evolution. Because if they get you to believe that creation didn't exist, then you are not a child of God. He did not create the heavens and the earth, and that we're all just happenstance. So the Miller-Ulrich experiment and this whole evolutionary argument is literally out there for grabs. And I will tell you, you need to watch the movie by Ben Stein, Expelled, because he exposes this and he exposes the scientific proof. And I actually will go through this in an upcoming show because, let me see, I got 5 minutes left. But what ended up happening, because the Scopes trial, right, in the 1920s, how much microbiology did we have in those days? Did we even know about the DNA? No. We didn't know about the microorganisms within a cell that were necessary for certain cells to function and do what they were supposed to do. And where did that come from? Well, it all came from the design of the DNA. In other words, it's like this programming that actually programs these things biologically to occur within cells and between cells and so forth for this stuff to happen. And that is not by chance. And as a matter of fact, I think Ben Stein does a really good job in kind of exposing all of this and how the education system has expelled, you know, academia and this open dialogue. Because if they allowed these arguments to come in, evolution would be dead. And so they do everything. So how many people have seen Expelled? I mean, it came out years ago. I mean, it came out well before I did my book, but even in my book, I cited him as exposing these things. So go watch that book. I cite all sorts of other sources. It's almost like there's an economist that actually did a really good video, and I think I even cited his video in my book, where if you watch this little YouTube video, he shows over the course of the history of mankind how slavery has kept us back. And every time, you know, society has had enslavement, or where they use slaves, the advancement of society is severely retarded. And so he actually shows, you know, how all of these leaps in technology and all of these things, you know, when America, you know, created the Declaration of Independence, you actually started seeing some measurable movement on this video that he had. And over time, as he goes through the timeline of, you know, this year, you know, by the time we fight the Civil War, the whole world is becoming active of productivity, because we're no longer, you know, resting on the backs of just a few. Everybody has to contribute, because we all have to work to provide for ourselves. In other words, we're all finally living by the doctrine that God gave Adam and Eve, that man must live by the sweat of his brow. But when we actually have others, when you have nations like China that enslave people and create a system, or a caste system like India, these types of slaveries and these types of oppressive governments retard our advancements. They retard our liberty. They retard happiness. They retard our joy. And so, understanding these types of things, I'm really taking all of this time, this whole show, really, because I do this every once in a while. I probably do it all the time, or I do it more than you may want to hear. But the fact is, we're not getting enough commitment. And if we don't get the commitment, we're gone. I keep saying this, and as a matter of fact, a friend of mine says, well, you keep saying it, we're not gone yet. I am telling you, folks, because you think we have more time, now is the time. And if not you, then who? Because I think those are the most powerful questions you need to ask yourself. You need to look in the mirror and say, is not now the time? Do you not see all the warnings? The central currency is coming to a reality where we are going to lose our own currency and be forced into the digital banking and the global economy. And we will have to do all of our buying, selling, and transactions through his system. And when I say his, I mean the Antichrist, because they are establishing the final moves. And the United States, again, the Antichrist church was erected in America, because Satan knew that he needed America to lead the world. Because why not? God put us in the position to lead the world. So he needed to co-opt and corrupt us to lead the world down his path. And he has successfully corrupted us. But God has still given us everything we need to actually cleanse ourselves of this by understanding the law, understanding this legal binding oath, this commitment as a citizen that we must support the Constitution. The light is clearly shining in this day and time on the Constitution as our only solution. What say you? With that, folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.